condition, my condition was in.
I woke up this morning with the sundown shining in.
Well, and welcome back to Stacks and Jacks. I'm Tim Howe. My producer's telling me to go ahead, but I didn't have my mic out. How can you go ahead without your mic, David?
You got your mic on.
Well, it's on now, but it wasn't like a second ago. S&P futures down 33. Yeah, 33. Dow futures down 369. NASDAQ futures down 53. Not a good morning here so far. If you're long, if you're short, I guess it's a good morning. If you're short recently, what, you want to cover here, David, right? Buy the dip? Is that the...
Yep.
That's still the deal? Frank? Hey, Frank, how are you, buddy? Long time no talk to. We got the... do we have enough stuff to talk about today or what? With the everything sort of going on here. With the Olympics starting, we got the Cubs losing, the Sox winning, we got all kinds of stuff going on in the market, we've got COVID cases, right? But very simple question. I asked David on the way, of course he didn't know the answer. Regarding COVID, if people have been I'm not gonna go through it, but we did when it happened, when they actually tested these vaccines. It was kind of an interesting test, and I'm going to say that most people, virtually everybody, has not read how these things were tested, and I'm not asking you to. I'm just saying that the idea was that the vaccines were going to prevent people from getting sick and dying. They never really tested, nor did they want to. They never tested if people were ever going to test positive, if you actually could carry the thing, with no danger to you or other people for a few days or one day or a week. None of that stuff was ever explained really to anybody. So when they say somebody tests positive after they had the vaccine, when they have no symptoms or anything, what does that even mean, Frank? Can they give it to anybody else? Are they going to get sick themselves? I'm thinking the answer is no.
I think they're figuring that out. But they never told us the vaccine was 100% effective, too.
Well, they said it was 95% or 90% effective at people being sick or dying.
Right. Well, that means it's 10% ineffective. I know basic math.
Well, of course, you went to Notre Dame, and you're from and you're from South Bend. Wait a minute. Well, I'm not so sure that should be put in there. You're from let's just say you're from the wrong side of I-80. What can I say to that?
Yeah, I am from south of I-80. I'm sure your engineer loves to hear that.
Well,
no, he's north of I-80, come to think of it. Yeah, I am on the wrong side of I-80.
But then again, I-80 is much further north in Indiana, so it's probably not as definitive as here. You know, I'm just saying.
And I had an Indiana congressman once explain to me that we really weren't part of Indiana.
No, I would say that you are not. I'm sure if you live in Centralia, Illinois, Chicago is not part of Illinois either. Just saying.
Oh, I'm sure. And here I am in Berea, Kentucky right now.
I hope you put your thing in where it looks like you're missing a tooth.
No, not really. Actually, this town is home of Berea College, has a top 30 endowment in the country for 1,600 kids, and the city voted for Biden. I don't even stick out.
So, God. All right, David, close your eyes and imagine for a minute a place where Frank wouldn't stick out.
Not sure I can do that.
Of course, David's known Frank for 100 years for the trading floor, and Frank always stuck out. Just saying, Frank. You stuck out in the parking lot with your Land Cruiser.
Customized Land Cruiser.
You had a roof rack. Was that made it customized?
Oh, no. I had Australian bumpers at all times.
Australian bumpers.
Oh, yeah. I had one that took out three deer up in northern Michigan at different times.
Now, what does that say about the deer didn't like you then, in other words?
Pardon me?
The deer didn't like you then.
No, they didn't either. The self-serve car wash did afterwards. Worst that happened to the car after hitting three big deer different times was a cracked turn signal cover.
Cool.
It was very cool. Your vehicle calls for one of these bumpers.
I don't need it any longer than it is. I won't be able to get in the garage. Just saying. Well, did you... Well, I actually don't even know where to start here. Well, you know what, Frank? Let's start where we said we're going to talk. At least we'll do that for a little bit. First time in our life we'll actually say what we're going to talk about. What do you make of, because I want to do the same thing with, you know, we had a long discussion at one of the restaurants we went to Saturday night, and I, of course, was, as my grandmother used to say, the part that came in last. So finally I just kind of shut up, but which is tough for me, everybody knows. Anyway, you and I were going to talk a little bit about the meshing together of all of a sudden the active transfers of people in college already, where there was a time when once somebody picked the college, they pretty much stayed there. Now, of course, that's not what's happening. And then we have these rules being passed that people can market their own likeness, and, oh, by the way, they can hire agents for that. All right, so, but not for anything else. Which, of course, if anybody believes that, I guess I got a bridge for you. But
well, and if anybody believes LSU and Kansas weren't cheating, we have a bridge for them too.
Right. So, the question, I guess, is at the end of the day, what is all this going to mean? Is this nobody? I mean, these kids had issues with going to school in the first place. Now you're showing up, you're already trying to market yourself to another team if you're not starting, and if the coach doesn't like you. And, oh, by the way, we're also trying to have an agent to how exactly are you going to have time to go to class? Why don't we just say it's a professional-sponsored something-something team? I mean, where are we going? Is there any chance of this being anything normal for anybody at this point?
Well, it's not going to be normal for the athletic departments because they aren't going to get the cut. Other people are going to have their fingers in the pie. If I'm an alumnus, do I want to give the offensive line $50,000 for food, or do I give it to the university athletic department?
Well,
so the athletic departments are screaming and crying. I'm sure every bowl game, talk about guys who make tens of millions of dollars and don't do anything.
Well, I'm sure in their mind they do something.
Yeah, but you and I know that they don't.
I
play golf with football coaches. That's the job.
Well, that is and pick up, you know, dinner. What was the guy from? What was the one in Arizona? The
Fiesta Bowl.
Yeah, what did that guy end up?
That belonged to 11 country clubs.
Yeah. Didn't he have a Black American Express card that he actually, and how much money did he put on a thing per year? So I remember reading this story. It was absolutely spectacular. Amount of money.
These jobs are the banner boys for white privilege. Like, who's the head of the Rose Bowl now and whining about everything collapsing? Delaney, that former head of the Big Ten. I mean, geez. And he makes $7 million a year to be head of the Rose Bowl, and he's not even in charge of the parade.
God. The
think about that.
It is unbelievable.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say that. I mean, I don't see how. Plus, I don't know the. Do you have any clue, or David, of how this combination? I mean, if let's say David is the football star, right? So he's going to. Now nobody knows. He's got his helmet on. We would hope. He's not playing without a helmet. So, how is it? Is he going to be on a billboard saying in Champaign, "Who the hell knows who David is?" Unless he happens to be the quarterback, I guess. Who the hell knows who David is without the Illinois jersey on and the University of Illinois star left tackle Dave Scatina? I mean, is University of Illinois?
Well, he won't be able to use the university's name and likeness. That this is where it's going to get messy. What happens if your star quarterback at an Adidas school once wore Nike shoes.
Yeah, I mean, and how do you market? I mean, is there anything about? I guess the next question is: there anything about David's stuff at Illinois that isn't already sold? I mean, the shoes are sold. I'm sure the jerseys are sold. The helmets are sold. They've got who makes helmets these days is on the front of the helmet. And what exactly, other than having a you know, an internet site where people get he gets to charge, you know, $20 for people to listen to him opine and ask him questions about Illinois football or something. I mean, I'm sure he could do that. Other than crap
you
like
could
that,
sign sign autographs somewhere.
Okay,
they'll figure out how to do it.
Well, I mean, I know if
I would have liked to have an appearance fee for Corby's when I was at Notre Dame.
The saloon, yeah. God, what a dump that place was.
I was janitor there.
I remember going into the bathroom one night, and the place was so crowded, and there were, let's say, two in the sink and two in the toilet at the same time. It was a rough night.
And I was the janitor.
But, I mean, in terms of the legitimate part, if somebody's just not, it makes it easier. I mean, if I was a massive proponent of Notre Dame football, which everybody knows I'm not, I mean, I go when my friends go, that's, and I get a parking place and I leave before the game starts. That's my shtick. But, I mean, it clearly makes it very easy for me to pay somebody to go there and play football. Right? It basically scrubs all the rules away from whatever they were before, where they were.
You mean the unenforced rules?
They were.
Come on, we have the LSU basketball coach. Taped. And introduces evidence in a federal court case. And the NCAA didn't do anything, nor did LSU. And then Les Miles goes from LSU to Kansas, and they pay a kid who was getting bullied on the football team to leave, and he doesn't even talk to the football players.
Yeah, I don't.
It's talk about integrity or anything with relation to the major sports, football and basketball, is a joke.
Well, I guess one thing I try and do on the show, Frank, as you well know, since you've been in for a while, I try and tie together all these things from all these different areas as kind of the basic human condition. I mean, we get what we want. When I say we, the boosters are willing to give an awful lot of money to one of these schools to have their football team win, or in some places their basketball team win. I don't exactly know why that is. I mean, they must think that, you know, when I was a freshman at Notre Dame, the idea that I could walk, what was it, half a mile, walk into a beautiful stadium and see a major college football game was really pretty neat. I mean, there's no doubt about that. I mean,
and basketball too.
Yeah, basketball too. Well, God, yes, with Austin Carr playing and those guys. I mean, I couldn't wait to get over there. But I also learned very quickly that that was on a Saturday, and by Monday morning, all my stuff was still due. And if I just spent the weekend partying for football and turned in a crummy paper, the guy still gave me a C or a D. So, I mean, it was nice for me, but it also showed me exactly where it was in the place. Once you got done, you know, enjoying the game for 2 hours afterward, life went on. And when you went in the shower, a certain appendage hadn't grown an inch if just because they won, right? I mean, you can only bask
in that. And that's also the same time where the football coach couldn't make more money than the highest paid professor on campus.
Boy, that ship has sailed. But I'm saying some of these people, they're like 70 years old, and like their entire week, they must look in the mirror and think they're 35 because their team won. I don't get it. I mean, I'd like to see, if I was from Nebraska, obviously I'd like to see the Nebraska team do well. But it doesn't make me Johnny Holmes, for God's sake. I mean, right? I mean, it just doesn't. I mean, you're just the same. You have the same things. You still got the family. It's just a football game. I mean, why is it that I have one view of it and the rest of the world doesn't? I mean, does it really make?
Well, no, I share it. You know, it's being played by a bunch of kids. None of them mine.
Right.
You know.
Well, that's the truth. Did any of your kids ever swim?
No, they did track.
All right.
Dylan ran or jumped at Lawrence, and Gavin was a God, a jumper, ended up a quarter miler.
Really?
And then said, I should have been, yeah, he went from like 56 on a relay down to 50 in 2 months his senior year.
What
and
does,
then, said, I should have been a half miler, and the kid went to York where, you know, it's half miler high.
What's the quarter mile? Is it 1,000 meter, roughly?
The quarter mile is 800 meter.
Well, 800 meter, okay.
Or 400 meter. 400 meter. 800 meters a half mile.
So does anybody run a quarter anymore? Probably not.
No, he's too... Track's really rough on the feet and the ankles. He ran for the MIT Track Club when he went to Boston and worked for the Rand Corp.
Do they have any of these... That's an interesting question. As we're heading into the Olympics, David, you might want to opine on this because you're old enough. When I was real young, when I say real young, there was this massive, I won't say fight, I'll say competition, I'll be nice, between the NCAA and the AAU, right? And the AAU had their people. Like, if you didn't go to college, there were track clubs. The University of Illinois, the University of Chicago Track Club was for anybody in Chicago that wasn't in a college, right? It was AAU.
Oh, or had graduated from college.
Oh, really? I didn't know that. Okay, so you were in the track. So when it came to the Olympic trials and stuff, there was the NCAA people, and then there was the AAU people, right? And there was like a big fight ongoing, and the NCAA pretty much won all rounds, didn't they? To where it became NCAA like or nothing for a while. And then the AAU, and I don't even know if it's the same people, Frank.
They aren't around anymore. There's somebody else. You know, there's Swim USA, there's Basketball USA.
Well, no, there's serious AAU at the high school level. But so I'm asking, is that the same people, the same organization?
No.
But would they have the same name? They stole the name.
The AAU, I don't even know if it's around.
Oh, yeah. If you're... Especially,
I was an AAU swimmer for 12 years.
Well, if you had a daughter who played basketball or volleyball now at the good at the high school level, the minute that season ends, the AAU season starts. And in virtually, that's why the high school coach in a lot of these kids is no longer the second father figure or first. It's now the AAU guy. That's why Notre Dame and those teams were playing the AAU teams early in the year and giving the people a spiff from the gate.
Yeah, those were college grads, like Phillip 66 from Bartlesville, Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Was a big AAU team thing. But I know AAU ran the national championships, you know, the long course meters and the short course yards for swimming, and they don't anymore. Somehow that divorce took place, and I don't know when it did because I wasn't swimming at the time.
Well, my buddies from California claim that the inroads on the Midwest. Well, David, you have sons that played ball. What is it all here in football? AAU
football?
Yeah,
I think 7-on-7 is being played right now, but I don't think it's regulated by the AAU.
No, I don't think so either.
So, in California. According to my buddy Dave Murphy, it's all AAU. And it's something like, if you're not playing in a serious 7-on-7 touch league in the summer AAU, you're not going to get a ride someplace.
Well, it's club sports. I don't know who regulates it. I'm sure it's a bunch of rich white guys who are getting paid way too much.
Well, I mean, I don't know, but he claims it's a AAU. It's all your skill positions now. They're all, I don't even know if it's 7-on-7, but it's
I haven't heard of that in Illinois, though, Tom.
No, I haven't either. That's what I'm saying. It's a big thing on the West Coast. So in the AAU
and
here.
In the South.
Yeah, well, like I said here, I think it's mostly girls' sports. But I'm not positive if there's men's high school basketball that. I mean, a guy on the block, me, attorney guy.
No, they have AAU basketball here.
Okay.
That's huge.
All right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, most kids now are playing way more AAU games than they are high school games, right?
Oh, yeah. They'll play 80 refed games a year. And I think it really hurts high school basketball, for example, especially the suburban stuff.
Well, that's kind of what I was saying.
Suburban high schools, I'd say to my sons, hey, that kid's 6'8". He looks like he's coordinated. Does he play basketball? Oh, no. He was 5'8" in freshman year. You don't get a chance to play.
Well,
everything's club sports.
Well,
where when I grew up in South Bend, We had Church League. We had CYO League. We had Park League. You could play on three different teams from the time you were 10 on.
Well, I played in probably two, three leagues a week, like forever. Park League.
Right. Well, right now, the only people that have access to the gyms at night are the traveling teams.
Really?
Which costs a fortune. Oh, yeah. You can't go get gym time anywhere.
So you can't just
maybe
walk in.
Why?
So you can't just walk into Mount Greenwood, get a game, and then have them. They had leagues every single night that the park ran, basketball.
No, Elmhurst has four different traveling teams that have teams for kids from 8 to, 18 or 13. And they rent every gym every night at every school. You can't get access.
That's cool.
Yeah, real cool. If you're one of the 8 kids or 10 kids whose dads are coaches of that team. I saw a tryout where a kid who was 6'6 in the 7th grade, he was all Big Ten as a freshman offensive tackle at Northwestern, didn't make the team because the dad said, well, he doesn't know where the ball is. And I said, your kid plays 80 ref games a year. You have him on the team, he'll know where the ball is. He goes, well, his hand sucks. I said, you throw the ball to him 200 times a day and you call yourself a coach? Come on. Yeah, I guess I do stick out at places. But
God. All right, Frank, we got to talk about the market for a second. I sent around last night the Fed balance sheet. What are you seeing now? I'm not going to dig into policy.
A lack of balance.
Balance sheet that has no balance. it's the way that is. What I guess my question, well, there's like a lot of questions, but the people that are getting all these checks now, do they really think that's like manna from heaven, or they think it's a loan, or what do they think? What do you think normal people?
Normal people think it's manna from heaven, and they know it's going to stop. I mean, what did the airlines think when they took $54 billion for employees, and now they can't keep a schedule because they don't have any employees?
And we're never going
to. Doesn't add up there.
No, and I spent some time. God, please don't do this. But if you go online real easily, you can pick up all the places in Illinois that got money from the Fed. And when you run through there, you're going, really? I kid you not, Frank. There's restaurants in there that I know stayed open, some with just the legitimate, carry out social distancing, all that crap, and some not so much. And yet, some of these places got like, $500,000, $2 million. I mean, and then now they're saying they can't get people. Okay, well, weren't you supposed to keep the people and pay them? Wasn't that the deal? A lot of stuff here does not really add up if one tries to get out there. Mental calculator. Just saying.
The airline companies were giving people early buyouts to leave. Now,
yeah.
Where was that money coming from if you broke? It was coming from that $54 billion, I'm sure.
I would say so. But the thing that I really concern myself with, Frank, is that we're printing a lot of this dough, and I don't know where that's all. I mean, last week was one of our biggest print jobs. We were up to $8.2 trillion on the Fed balance sheet, and we printed $125 billion last week. I mean, really? I mean, we got a guy out there telling us he's doing 120 a month, and he did 120 last week. I mean, is there any stretch of in this world we live in when we supposedly everybody knows everything about everything because of the internet. I mean, do we know anything? I mean, is it like, as they say in the trading floor, is it like taking a drink out of a fire hydrant? You can't do it. So much information that everything gets lost, or what?
It's probably something like that. But hold on. You and I have been talking about inflation for the past 3 years, or however long, 5 years I was on. We knew it was coming. And they're still screwing up the measurement of it, and, yeah, free money.
The issue, Frank, is for me is I was right in the middle of it, and I know it is the cruelest tax there is. And I don't, I mean, I can talk, I don't know if you listened last Tuesday, but Jeff was on talking about how he spent so much time researching China and Amazon and so forth and putting out these terrific editions of Luckbox. And at the end of the day, everybody's still buying all their crap from China. And, you know, you know, nobody cares about Amazon. Okay. They can't wait to buy another thing from Amazon. I mean, I think that, we're not having much. I mean, I don't think that I've been able to, maybe our listeners, but does everybody in this country understand that if you saved $1 million over your whole life and it's now sitting in a bank or whatever it is, that by the end of the year, it's going to be worth $900,000. I mean, it is the cruelest tax there is.
No, they don't understand it because they're going to look at their statement and it's going to say $1 million. It's going to say like $1 million and $10 because, yeah, you know, that 0.01% you get on it.
I sort of wish that as everybody's decrying colleges and stuff, I think maybe everybody should be required to take at least, you know, 6 months of an economics course just so you can work your way through the government BS. Or at least have a chance to, or something. Anyway, Frank, thank you. When is your competition?
My competition Saturday and Sunday. I'm swimming a 53 on Saturday and a 53 butterfly on Sunday.
Oh, you're not going to be like Joe Frazier and jump in and they got to save you from the bottom of the pool, are they?
No, I'm in the best shape I've been in years.
Good for you.
Lost 15 pounds.
Well,
you know.
So if I was a bet, are you on DraftKings?
I'm swimming against people whose total avocation is swimming right now. If I can get top 10 in the country, I'll be happy.
Are you going to be in the outside lane, the guys that never win, or are you going to be in the middle?
Here's another thing. I'm in a third heat with, not very good swimmers. Everybody lied about their, not everybody, massive chunks of people lie about their seed times. I should have known better, you know.
Well,
my idealism got in my way of what I should have done.
Well, so what difference does it make? All you do is win your heat, right?
Yeah, no, there aren't finals. So you want to be in the fastest heat. So I'm in a heat where my heat seed time is 5 to 10 seconds faster than anybody else. There's no competition, so I'm going to be swimming against the clock alone rather than six good swimmers.
Just go as fast as you can.
Oh, I've learned that lesson. I'm signed up for the Outdoor Nationals.
What do you think?
I'm a world beater now.
What do you think, Frank? Put a barracuda behind him chasing his ass and he'll go fast.
I've imagined sharks and barracudas in swimming pools, so.
Oh, God. All right, Frank, good luck to you, buddy.
We'll
thanks
talk
for calling.
That later.
S&P futures, ouch, down 46 now. NASDAQ futures down 127. It's getting worse. Be right back, Mr. John Flanagan.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Stocks, jocks,
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello and welcome to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Howe. Mr. Dave Scatina on the board. S&P futures down 45 and a quarter. Yeah, 45 and a quarter. NASDAQ down 127. So we came in, we were down, and now we're leaking even from there. Dow's down 361. Airlines, energy stocks leading the sell-off here, but it's pretty much across the board. Over in Europe, we've got the DAX down 336, 2.2%. FTSE down 141, 2%. CAC around down 136, 2.1%. And we've got the, over in Asia, Nikkei down 350, that's 1.25%. Shanghai down 18 cents. Wow, it's, I don't know what's with these guys. It's flat. Hang Seng, however, down 514, that's 1.85. So, the only one that's hanging in there is the Hang Seng. Friday, we were down 299 in the Dow, 32 in the S&P, and 115 in the NASDAQ. So this is, two pretty serious days in a row. 10-year, 1.23, so it's dropping. The Bund, minus 0.38. That's dropping. And the Japan is just hovering above zero at 0.01. We got oil down $2.14, under 70, 69.67. It was up to 75, I believe, a couple weeks ago. A Brent down $2, 71.54. Natural gas up 6 cents, 373. I'm sure it has something to do with the heat again out west. RBOB is down 5 cents to 220. I should not have filled up the Suburban. I should have waited. What do you think, David?
Yeah, maybe.
Plus OPEC, I guess, agrees to boost the supply. I don't know if we count on them with those guys right or wrong. Gold still above 1800, but down $9, 1806. Silver down 36 cents, 25.43. Copper down 7 cents at 425. And last but not least, we got Bitcoin slow and down a little bit again. Minus 348 to 31,324. Is trading in Bitcoin is really slowed as the thing has been stuck here between 29 and I'll say 35 really for quite a while. David, what do you got for us? Traffic, weather, sports.
Good morning. It's 6:38 in Chicago. Chicago weather, sunny, partly sunny and 70. Should be a high of 80 degrees and sunny in our Phoenix listeners. It's 88 degrees, partly cloudy. They'll have a high of 104 degrees and sunny. Traffic, normal buildup on the Kennedy and Eisenhower because of that forever-ending construction. Slow down at 55 north at the 94 exit, as usual. We do have an accident report at the Edens I-94 north between West Wilson Avenue and West Foster Avenue due to a fatal accident, including a motorcycle. All lanes are blocked at Wilson. In sports, baseball last night, Cubs lose to the D-backs 6-4. They're taking on the Cardinals. Sox beat Astros 4-0. They're playing the Twins this week. NBA, the Suns play Game 6 at Milwaukee Tuesday night. They are down 3-2 in the series. And in the Open in England at Royal St. George, Colin Morikawa wins his second major this weekend. And that's all we have for sports. Tom, back to you.
He's got to be the first Japanese dude to win the Open.
I believe so, yes.
Because when he won here, he was the first one to win a major here for sure.
Yeah, he's only 24 years old, too.
Oh, he's a hell of a player. I mean, all of
them.
Wish him luck. He seems like a decent enough guy.
Right.
And, actually, there's most of the guys that are the top golfers now seem like they're... You know, one guy I know that everybody doesn't like is... what's his name? He won the Masters a couple years ago. Well, nobody likes Bubba Watson.
Oh, Bubba? Yeah. I don't know how he played. I didn't watch all of the Open, but Jordan Spieth hung in there for quite a while.
Yeah. They look more like a U.S. course with the really flush fairways.
Well, they had 80 degrees and sun yesterday. They said it was perfect conditions for the final round.
But usually it's brown with nothing but, you know, a lot of brush and wind. And this day it looked like it was these are watered fairways. These aren't like the old kind.
Right. No, not like it used to be.
John, how are you?
I'm good, Tom. How about you?
Doing all right, except... just as a way to, we don't need things around to aggravate, you know, these days, but, as I must have drove by, I don't know what possessed me last week, I had to go see a couple clients and a bunch of stuff, so I probably went by the, Burn Interchange, I'm gonna say 16 times. Not once did I see anybody working. Just saying. That thing started.
It's unbelievable, Tom.
Yeah, I mean, so, I get one of these Quora Digest things, and now I've been reading about it last night. Again, something I didn't know about. You know how long it took to build the Empire State Building?
18 months?
Well, I sent you the thing.
Oh.
But obviously you didn't read it. That was that was the schedule. They finished 3 months ahead of schedule. And the interesting part was that the people that went out to get the bid, they didn't have any piece of equipment, not one, that they could be, it could be used on that site for that big of a project. They started with absolutely, it would be like us in a room saying, yeah, we'll build a skyscraper. They didn't have anything. And, they ended up with, talk about just in time, stuff. I think it was something like 48 hours between the time a piece of steel left Pittsburgh and actually got there, already had the marks on it and chalk where it was going to go, hoisted, and it was put in the building. They wrote, get a load of this. How many stories do you think a week went up?
Oh, God, that's 8, 9?
4.5.
4.5, well.
Yeah.
That's astounding, given... You know, technology and just the difficulty, one of a kind building like that being put up. You know, that's amazing.
I'm sorry, 80 hours after coming out of the furnace and off the roller, the steel was in the building, and that was Pittsburgh, and that was 1930. So this is a interesting. I'll just read one paragraph here, and then we'll go on to something more current, but. Just goes to show you what you can do when you want to. The contractors began excavation for the new building in January 1930, even before the demolition of the site's previous occupant, the original Waldorf Astoria, which I didn't know that was the case, was complete. The Sterrett brothers, these are the guys that were the designers, had pioneered the simultaneous work of demolition and foundation laying. Just a year earlier when building 40 Wall Street, an earlier competitor in the race to erect the world's highest building, two shifts of 300 men worked day and night digging through the hard rock and creating the foundation. Same time they were getting rid of the old building. Now, Lori and the people doing the burn interchange, two shifts of 300 men worked day and night. Not one shift of five guys working for 30 years. There is a difference. And every time you go by there, you know, when you... What is the ignorance of today? You have a four-lane highway, and you say, boy, this was a bad design. If this was only five lanes, this is the biggest bottleneck in the country, was the burn interchange. we need to get from four lanes to five so we can get rid of this bottleneck. Okay? So do you think making it three lanes for like 12 years helps or hurts on your way to getting to five?
Well, I read something the other day. I'll see if I can find my way back to it. But it said even if this thing were to, ever to be completed, that the average gain in efficiency for a driver, you know, changing from the Ryan to the Eisenhower, can be measured in seconds and not minutes.
Yeah.
So I, you know, you really have to stop and think. Well, if the, you didn't have any kind of a better solution than that to offer, why even start the darn thing?
Well, we need a crosstown expressway, and we need another couple of rail lines. I mean, CTA lines. We've needed them for 30 years, and we're not going to get them. And you can put all the perfume you want on the old pigs, but they're still pigs. It's just anyway. We could talk about that, you know, sort of forever. Right? I was trying to avoid the subject, Chan, but I actually asked my brother a nice little cookout last night to go see my nephews and niece. And, of course, I drive my niece home from the south side. She lives by in Bridgeport, right? So we've been the Ryan is so bad that we've been scooting down city streets. So last week I picked a nice route, and we barely got a red light, and I was pretty proud of myself. Of course, last night, within a mile of my brother's house, I managed to catch two trains. So that didn't work out so hot. It took forever to get home, but we continue to have this debate, whatever side of the debate you're on, I guess it really doesn't matter. It has to do with whether, you know, people are sitting home on the sofa and not working and blah blah blah, or whether this inflation is to the point where you're not paying people enough. Now, I know where I am on this article, on this, but one of my nephew married this terrific lady who speaks English and Polish, by the way. But she teaches math out in, where's the soccer stadium?
Bridgeview.
Yeah. She teaches math on Bridgeview. So I said, okay, Burnett, you're the mathematician of, I know, John, that there's a name for, there's a mathematical term that I cannot find. I wish if one of the listeners calls in, it would certainly ease my pain. There's a term for being able to put mathematical numbers that are actually correct in front of people, but yet are very misleading in what you just said. Stuff like Dave's Catena Inc. drops from $100 to $1, but the next day you say Dave's Catena Inc. is up 100% today when it goes back to two. But in reality, it went from one to two. It's still down from 100, you know, big deal. But by your using the percentage and not the buck, you're delivering a message that really is somewhat, you know, misleading, shall we say. And she was going to try and look it up for me, so maybe she'll come up with it. But it has to do with these raises that you're giving people, or people are demanding, or are not working for them, or not coming back to work for the number. My significant other and two of her pals, we went to this Asian place. I won't say what kind of Asian place because people might be able to spot it. And people that run the place are terrific, right? So one of the owner is in the kitchen, and she's cooking away, right? So, of course, you know, the ladies have to dig in. By the way, what are you doing cooking away? Well, the cook quit. Really? Yeah, you can't keep anybody's work. You can't hire anybody. All right, fine. So we get into this long dissertation, and of course, everybody's opining about, isn't this horrible? The state's paying everybody too much money and blah, blah, blah. And they said, well, what do you think? And I said, well, I think that's what you guys all think. That doesn't necessarily make it correct. which of course went over like a fart in church. But I think that somewhere along the line, we're talking about, when we were just talking with Frank about the meshing together of people now transferring all over the place before they graduate. Money entering the game now in the guise of marketing. We've got people hiring agents that are only supposed to do marketing and not be recruiting them to another college while they're a junior. All this stuff's happening at the same time, Jen. But kind of any, and it's more like the perfect storm than it is anything else, right? I mean, you can't really put your finger on what is causing the changes because there's so many things going on all at once. And I, you know, again, everybody knows I've been harping on this inflation topic for so long here before most people even thought it was coming. But that didn't do anybody any good, and didn't do me any good, really, other than to to use my experience to make the prediction, but you know that didn't help anybody. Probably, I mean. So anyway, it comes down to what is even perspective when it comes to people's wages. And of course, I believe it or not, I shut up on this argument because they're talking back and forth to the people that own this restaurant. And these guys have not gouged. I'm going to say they've raised their prices a little bit, but nowhere near what other places have. So I'm going to say their average appetizers, which are really good, by the way, is probably $6.75 to $8.50. You know, so we're not talking, they're killing you. And the dinners are anywhere from, I'm going to say probably $10 to $17, depending on if you're getting shrimp or whatever in there. So, I mean, they're not, and you can bring your own booze in. So, I mean, two people can go there and have like 2-3 appetizers and dinner and walk out for, you know, $50 or $45, you know, so it's not, they're not gaining, they're not killing you. So I'm sitting there thinking, all right, now how much? And then the guy says, we just gave the guy a huge raise. And I'm sitting there going, uh-oh. I know where this is going. And I think somehow or another, everybody's got their phones now, which other than take pictures actually could work as a calculator. How many times do you think people use their phone to calculate versus to take pictures of something they shouldn't be taking pictures of, John? Just asking, you know.
Yep, it's sizable.
You think? Anyway, so the guy says, we just raised his salary from like $12.50 to like $15.50 or $16. And I'm going, okay. You know, which is really, you know, it's what, 20% roughly? It's got to be. Let's say 20%. No, it's 30%, right? So
yeah,
10% would be $1.25, and they raised it $3.75, so it's essentially 30%. And you say, okay, but it's what have you really done? I mean, we're talking about somebody who has the keys to the place, shows up, you trust them in the place without supervision, and you got them up to, you know, $16.50 something. But here's the rub, Jan, is if you take, let's say for instance, and when it's relatively busy, the guy pops out, you know, 30 something somethings an hour. We had an appetizer or a dinner. Let's say the average price is $11. Okay, so if you raise those prices 10%, now you're picking up, if it's 30 things an hour, you're talking about $330 an hour, right?
Right.
Gross. So, and I'm sure they actually do more than that, but I'm keeping it low. So if you raise that 10%, you're talking about $33 more an hour you're taking in, right? Assuming you don't lose out, but people don't order because it's 10% higher. But I'm saying it isn't, because they're still relatively inexpensive. Okay, so you raise this guy, let's say $4 an hour. You're still $29 ahead, right?
Right.
But also, if the dude hasn't had a raise in however many years, I mean, what exactly, even for this guy now, if he wants to go out and have dinner, he wants to grab, you know, a couple appetizers, a couple dinners at his own place, he can't even pay for the difference of his order, right, and with his raise.
Right.
I mean, you've got people that have been down so low at that end for so long, that if you raise them 10, 15, 20, 30%, which sounds like a lot, it's almost not getting you anywhere. I mean, if you take somebody and raise them from $8 to 10 and go, man, that's 25%. What the hell? Why is anybody bitching? It's still only $2, man. Right? I don't know how you put that down on a paper or how you can convey that to the population, but we're not even in the same planet here. I mean, we're talking about a group that is the median income has gone, you know, it's gone up 25% in 20 years. And I'm going to say, if you listed everything in that particular restaurant or any restaurant and listed all the costs, every other cost in the place has probably doubled in that 20 years. And these guys are up, you know, 25%. And now they're saying, hey, we're not even close to needing enough. I mean, everybody's talking about, and then of course the group with us, you believe McDonald's is paying like $15 and they can't find it? What do you suppose the revenue is at a McDonald's restaurant now versus 2000? What do you think the revenue's up? It's got to be
factor triple. Of what, three?
At least,
five?
I was going to say three, four.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say the prices have at least doubled. And yet, your people that were making 10, you think they should be happy with 12. Why? Where's Henry Ford, where I got to pay my people enough to where they can buy a car? Do we have any of that mentality here? Or now the mentality is we got to pay them just enough to where they hang in there like they're in China or someplace. I mean, how can we break out of this? And instead of thinking it's your right to have people work for like next to nothing, I don't know. Did you ever come with us to the saloon in South Bend where the poster was, just remember, everybody in the world is overpaid but you?
Yes. Well, you know, maybe it's the great reset that we've all been, hoping for, but didn't want to, take everything that went along with it. But everything has gotten so out of whack for so long. And it's, wages are the prime example of it. Because, how many meals could you get at McDonald's if you were working, taking an order on your hourly wage 20 years ago? If you're making, $4, $5 an hour, maybe? Probably a little more than that if you're experienced, but you could barely afford a Big Mac for what you were earning in an hour. And that's been the case for quite a while, for a generation or two at least. So it's now been completely worsened by every, clamping down on business and trying to reopen it. And now you got things are just going sky high, and there's no way wages can catch up without, what you're going to see is another kind of reset with a diminishment of services. And, it's hard to say what's going to happen with rents in the long run, although I suspect they'll tank for a while, but they'll shoot back up again at some point. I just see everything completely disconnected from any kind of tethering, and it's hard to say where this will end up, but it's dramatic and it's shocking to me.
Well, on the low end, if you look at a 20-year history, they almost need to double just to break even, and then go from there.
I think that's true. I think that's absolutely true.
And I think that if you look at the executive salaries over the 20-year period, the lease costs, all that stuff, you'll find that's where it went. I hang around, a lot of people, a lot of my friends and maybe even significant other are somewhat, shall we say, on the right. And it is interesting. Sometimes, you gotta observe a little bit what's going at. And when they talk about, some of the people, this current Democratic group, I don't know where the people got in there. But then again, the Republicans were just as bad when they were in office not too long ago, like 6 months ago. It's government largesse to give government money to whoever it is your people happen to be. I mean, this guy's sending out checks to people he thinks are going to vote for him, and Trump lowered taxes for people he thought were going to vote for him, right? There's really no difference, John. I mean, even though the other side, always is bitching at the other person doing it to their people, but then they go do it to their people. I mean, I notice no difference, or where am I wrong?
No, except that, I sent around that piece by Victor Davis Hanson yesterday or the day before about how the parties have really kind of switched polarities, and that the Democrats really are now the party of greater wealth overall. I mean, I'm sure you can find Republicans who are wealthier than a lot of wealthy Democrats, but generally the appeal of the parties and the kind of message that they kind of get behind, the Democrats run the media, they pretty much run the entertainment industry, and those moguls that are lecturing everybody else on, how we need more, and here are the enemies. These are the people who are sitting on Easy Street. Most of those people in various industries were not, Democrats 25, 50 years ago. And I can't imagine that the Republicans would be, the party of the blue collar voter in my lifetime, but it seems to be happening. And
if you can
part
find
of it, part of it is just disenchantment that the Democrats have really, I think, missed the boat. I mean, they've been even more clueless than the Republicans, and I never thought I'd be saying this, as far as keeping their finger on the pulse about where this country was really headed. And now you've got this polarity switch that I think shows just how discombobulated everything has become.
Well, I think you have to break apart the people you're talking about, and we'll talk about this more after break, because I fight with all our actually this is one of the few things we really do disagree about. I fight with all of our contributors, and the one issue that you can't call. I mean, Jeff Bezos might be are those the guys that know who owns the Washington Post? Is that him or
Bezos? Yeah.
I mean, he might come across as quote a Democrat because where the Washington Post sort of leans, at least in the terms of the right wingers. But he sure as hell is a Republican in the sense that he doesn't want any part of any taxes for his company. I mean, so what is he? I mean, I think he's an opportunist is what he is. I mean, I wouldn't put him in anybody's party. I wouldn't put him in anybody's camp except his own pocket. I mean, where am I wrong?
No, but I think there's an element now of condescension among the Clintons and Bezos and Gates and people like that who are clearly on the left, side of the dial, but it's taken on an aspect where it's the great unwashed in this country that are the problem that we have to educate, and those people are not really divided in any way by party.
Well,
you've got Democrats and Republicans in a certain, earning level of this country that are very much in the same boat. They may not see it very clearly sometimes, but they've all been beat up equally by whoever happens to be in charge. I think the Democrats are now losing their, grip on things because they've kind of missed the fact that they are the ones now that are the most dismissive and the most patronizing of all. So the political message is as a result completely scrambled. I mean, they're trying to be the party of
and
they despise the underdog.
When we get back from break, I'm going to push back on that pretty heavily because I get the same story from Kevin, and it's not a major argument, but it's just I don't think you can believe these people to the extent that you almost can't analyze them because they're so whatever. S&P futures down 45, Nasdaq futures down 117. Be right back, Stocks and Jocks.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jacks. I'm Tom Holly, Mr. Dave Scatina on the board. S&P futures down 45, and Nasdaq futures down 120. So not a good start after a real crummy day and Friday. So we're having another crummy day. So I'm fighting here with my good friend Jan Flanagan regarding it has to do, I guess, with what you know people's perception of themselves and what they project and what they like really are. I think, Jan, you know probably way better than me, all the old thieves, not that you were an old thief. The Rockefellers, the Carnegies, as they aged, their view of themselves, as they now took their money and became philanthropists, it was like they're buying indulgences if they were Catholic.
Right.
You know, I'm sure in their view, when Rockefeller gave his money to Chicago, an incredible liberal institution, was it Vanderbilt gave his money to Vanderbilt, hence the name. I'm sure in their mind, they had come around, saw Jesus, and were now these liberal philanthropists. But in fact, really? come on. Bill Gates could say all what he want. Bill Gates should probably still go to jail for antitrust and for everything else he did when he was, was there a bigger antitrust violator in the history of the world than him?
Nope.
We're talking about, is there somewhat of this elitism that these guys show late in life? Yeah. I think that Jeff Bezos isn't hiring, he's not in charge anymore, allegedly. He's not hiring 90 bazillion, lobbyists to run around and so they can pay as much tax as anybody else, right? So, you gotta take all this other crap from these people with a grain of salt, I think. Just saying.
Yeah, the thing about the political affiliations of these people is what's striking to me, is that they've garbled their message in a way that makes them not very credible as a spokesperson for the little person, the little people that work for them, and the little people who aren't smart enough to get a job working for them. They've condescended in a way that I don't think the Democrats ever saw as a way to success, say, 1930, 1940, where the population was very clearly aligned in a way that if you had made it and you wanted to hang on to it, the Democrats weren't your party. And if you were struggling and barely able to get by and you thought you were being shafted, the Democrats were the ones you should get behind. That was pretty much the way, as I grew up. It became sort of disconnected in the 70s, and then sort of course with Reagan in the 80s, where he got elected convincingly by appealing to old Democrats who felt that the Republicans were the way to get behind what they needed, what they thought should be done in the country. And it's even more glaring now, where you've got the whole drive towards being more woke than the next person, which is Democrat driven, which is a complete turnoff for people who are have no time for any of this stuff. It's the worst kind of defeatism that Spiro Agnew used to make capital on. The Democrats are just tone deaf about it, though.
But, John, these guys, one of the, I guess after two classes with George Stigler, who's a Nobel Prize winning behavioral economist, and his big thing was political economy. I think what happens with, not that I understand it, I didn't win the Nobel Prize, he did, but I took class from the guy. And by the way, I enjoyed those two classes probably more than any I ever took. Way more than Milton Friedman. All he did was run up graphs and formulas that I didn't understand. But these guys, everybody says that the government should be running as a business. How many times do you hear that a day? Like 100? Everybody will say if they just ran it like a business. The fact is, they do run it as a business. It's a business, though, that other people don't understand. And Trump, as dumb as the guy was about a lot of stuff, obviously had the street smarts to understand the political business. And these other people just what you're talking about, John, they understand the political business. I drove my niece home last night from the South Side, and every place I went, every block on Western Avenue, I'm like the old fart, which I am, I guess. I say, that used to be American Can Company. that used to be this, this used to be that, there were how many people worked there. This was, the people you're talking about, John, they don't exist. If somebody went into the middle class when you and I were growing up, and David, and you wanted to appeal to the Democratic voter, they were the person working in those places. And there was all kinds of them. There were, the unions had a big power in Washington. There, if you appealed to that group, you walked away with 20% of the electorate, or 18 or 22 or some number in there. I'm guessing, but I'm probably close. Now that number's 4 or 5, and who knows who they even vote for. Yet, if you go for the, you know, what is it, LGB, they keep adding a letter a week, all the people that consider themselves in that group, guess what, Jan? They all vote. And it's like the people who appeal to old people 25 years ago. I mean, I remember reading something, a study on that, we used to get, you know, like U.S. News and World Report about the difference in voting patterns among people who were retired versus other. It was like 75% of people who were over 65 voted, and people under 65, it was like, you know, 35 or something. So you're an absolute moron as a politician, because that's your business to not say, wait a minute, I better spend an awful lot of time with these old farts. They all go to the polling place. So right now, the woke group is there because a lot of black people voted for Republicans at one point, and the Democrats panicked and they want everybody back. So there's massive voting blocks with the black people and the LGBT. So you're going to, the fact that your attraction, or your seemingly whatever you want to do, you're basically willing to do whatever those people want you to do, those people. So what if it turns off the old guy who's a welder at Pullman? Pullman doesn't exist. They're not here. There's no number there. You and I,
the Democrats are now turning off their black voters too, though.
Oh, some. Because some, and guess what? A lot of black people have money.
This whole classism that's crept into politics, that it isn't about, you know, we're all pulling in the same direction, that there's people at the bottom who are holding everybody else back. They're the uneducated, they're the bigoted, they're mainly white. If you're, you know, a Democratic pollster, this is kind of the mindset you have. And if you're black, you're, you know, preferred. But also, you know, we don't really have much to offer blacks when it comes to improving, you know, their day-to-day lives. Look at the cities that the Democrats run. They're disasters for black people. But, you know, that is starting, I think, now to unravel, and people are beginning to see, black and white, that the whole thing is just a shell game. And that there is no message that the Democrats have that appeals to anybody who is struggling in any way. And it's unfortunate, because this is, you know, I'm a dyed-in-the-wool Democrat for several generations, but I see a complete betrayal of the party and its mission, and its appeal now is just completely detached from reality, and they're paying a price for it. And they'll pay a bigger price in 2022 than I think they
realize.
But
Jan, I mean, again, We're arguing over tactics. We're not arguing over feelings, because you and I think are in the exact same spot on there. But you're talking about the Democratic Party. You're talking about Roosevelt, who came from the other side and decided in America, the America he wanted, you didn't have 14-year-old girls working in garment factories. You didn't have people who were 65 years old or over, and there weren't very many in those days, without any safety net at all. He's like, that's not the America of the future that he saw. Okay? But he was Roosevelt. He wasn't Pritzker. He wasn't Joe Biden. He wasn't Donald Trump. He was Roosevelt. He was a brilliant man. He could pull his stuff off. And he could change people's opinions over time. But he also came from the other side, so he knew where the money was. I mean, you could put your finger down on a map of the United States, draw it across. He could name every single county your finger went through in every state and how they voted in the last election. So you can't say these people aren't in tune with what's going to get them there. I mean, in the idea that Chicago is this somewhat democratic town, and somehow these are democratic policies. These are people stealing money from the city and not giving it and not keeping other places up. I mean, why doesn't Tilden Tech have the vocational school and things that, that Kevin is putting back in Indiana. These ideas were here long before there was a Kevin O'Neill. They stopped doing them. Now Kevin's doing it again, and look how successful he is at getting people jobs in those areas, and by the way, learning some other stuff along the way. We used to do that here. We don't anymore. Now, do you think that's democratic, or just people said, why should we give money to those people? We're taking it. I mean, these people are emperors, John. They're not Democrats. I don't think.
Well, there's an imperial class, yes, and that you know is not a respecter of party difference. So you've got elitists in both parties. What I'm saying is that the Democrats, instead of realizing that this is a way, you know, if you wanted to pull the country in a direction that would actually equalize things, which was supposedly what Roosevelt and people who followed after him were trying to do, you would not do what you're doing now by dividing the population into warring camps.
I just said...
There's always been a way of distracting the population from the fact that you can't do what you claim you're doing, and you then blame somebody else for it, or you blame the voters themselves for somehow not getting on board. And the Democrats have just become masters at this, of just abusing people, taking the votes for granted, and giving them nothing in return but abuse.
Yeah, but, Janet,
so, you know, okay. It still matters a great deal when it comes to important legislation, which side of the aisle you're on and how many votes it's going to take to woo somebody from one side to the other. And I agree that the Republicans are as contemptible in their tactics in many ways as the Democrats, but the Democrats are doing such damage now to the long-term possibility for prosperity in this country for most of the people who are in most need of it, that I have to wash my hands of them. I'm just totally
by
their methods.
I'm saying, but Jan, it's all, if you look at it without any point of view, not of the policies, but watch what people are doing to just get elected, right? So Trump trumped the Democrats by essentially jumping the traditional Democrat wing of the party. I mean, he got in because he found the disaffected auto worker, who, by the way, doesn't have his job anymore, lost his bass boat, lost his house, lost his wife. He had nothing left in life but his vote. If anybody wants to listen as to how Trump got in, there's a what's the guy's name? He's the spatially challenged guy that did all the stuff that nobody likes, the liberal guy. What the hell's his name?
Robert Reich?
No, Michael Moore.
Oh, spatially challenged.
Well, I'm trying to be politically correct here. What can I say?
Spatially enhanced.
Yeah. So, I mean, he talked about the person who's now the Trump voter. And he's absolutely right. I've lost my best boat. I lost my wife. I've lost my job. And by the way, you know, here I am, and I used to be like a benefit to myself, my family, and my country. And now I can't do crap because my place went somewhere else, and they went to China, and here I am. All right, but so the Republicans jumped the Democrats, and they won. Trump won by stealing people who were disaffected normal Democrats, and the Democrats are too stupid to realize that. But the Democrats recovered, and they said, "Okay, who doesn't appeal to these Republicans at all?" And drove the totally the opposite way. They went to the LGBT. They went to all these other places that do vote, and guess what? They jumped the Republicans back. So in their mind, they're incredibly successful because they got all three branches of government, all three plot spots back in their camp. It's a massive win, Jen. Massive win. By saying, okay, you want the people out there going to the concealed carry class that used to work for General Motors, you take them. I'm going to go get the rest of these people because there's not enough of those people to beat us. And they're right. It's all about numbers. It has nothing to do
with that. But you just proved my point, Tom, that they've decided now that the polarities that they created, the differences between the parties, have become pretty meaningless now. Most of the LBG people I know are pretty prosperous. They own businesses. They have, you know, excellent, you know, life conditions. They don't need largesse from the government. But there is a class difference that puts them very much in the preferred state today. And the fact that they are some kind of abused, you know, minority that the Democrats keep punching over and over again is ludicrous. Ludicrous.
Well, I mean, you're somewhat... I started this, I mean, again, it's... Jenny, it's a perfect example of it's not what you say, it's what people hear. Obviously, people are not hearing what I'm trying to say, which has been my big problem lately. What I said is we don't have a Roosevelt that has I'm going to make things a lot better because in 5 years or 10 years, this is going to be where we're going to be instead of here today. These guys, it's all about whose money is where. I mean, look at what happened this weekend. The Republicans allegedly fought through, and the Democrats didn't fight very hard, that Biden allegedly wanted $80 million or $80 billion to put IRS together and try and figure out all the people who aren't paying enough taxes. Well, the Republicans said, we're not voting for that. Because that's allegedly their group of people. Yet, in fact, neither side wants that. Neither side wants that. I mean, I was reading Friday night, actually before I went downstairs to the bar. Good thing I'm not drinking these days, or else it would have been a rough... I was reading the people who got all this money in the money. These people, even though the Democrats are in office or whatever, or actually last year it was Republicans, John, the people who got dough, I mean, Chicago cut $500,000, or was it $2 million, $500,000, some number, Ditka's restaurants. He's got, what, two restaurants left, and two of them got like two checks apiece for $500,000. The amount of money that these people got, do you think they care whether they're Democrats or Republicans? They're going to argue with you and I in a bar or at dinner about it, but it's all about who's giving you the check. And the Republicans somewhat still think that the big business or people like us still think that Republicans are more likely to give the check to big business. But did anybody give more money to Wall Street than Obama? I mean, you're right. The roles have changed. It's become a money from the top down. And either party is willing to give money to whoever leaves them there. There's nobody with any vision that any actually cares about. I mean, nobody's really willing to stop people moving their stuff overseas. I mean, Trump allegedly, stopped the Tax Act. If you want to open up a company overseas and not pay taxes here, it's easier to do now than before his bill, before that law. Does anybody know that? No, because the press got hold of it and the Republicans spun it enough. We stopped these people hiding their money overseas. That's such BS, Jan. I mean, come on. It's like me saying I'm a jockey. I mean,
yeah, but the press isn't carrying any water for Republicans these days.
Well, they
and television media, whatever. I mean, it's their despised group, and never has there been that kind of control.
But that's their shtick. They want messaging. That's their shtick. I mean, what would have to happen right now? That's become it's very similar, Jan, to my dinner Saturday night, where everybody knows somebody who's sitting on a sofa because they're getting an unemployment check that's too big, and that if we just stop that, nobody wants to work because we're giving them dough. That is 90% of the population will argue with me about that without any reference whatsoever to any rigorous sort of study or wage rates, expenses in the companies, expenses in restaurants. Nobody will do any of that work. And yet now everybody says, gee, the press is absolutely pro Republican or pro Democrat. I don't know if that's true, Jen. It's whoever you listen to. I mean, when I go to my girlfriend's place, I turn on the TV. I tell you what, she finds press that's all right wing. I'm just telling you. I turn it on. I'm like, what am I listening to? It's not like it's not there. It's not like we ban Fox.
No, but look at social media, which has become just nothing more than a mouthpiece for Democratic causes. You go off the reservation, and you are depersoned. You're deplatformed. I mean, that to me is just, a sure sign that, and it isn't just social media. You try to get a letter to the editor published in the Sun-Times that doesn't follow the Sun-Times mantra, good luck.
Well, I don't disagree, but I don't know that until you can't, but all social media also gives you a chance that you can have your own newspaper. I get the Epic Times. I get all kinds of stuff people send me from the right. It's not like there's nothing there.
Yeah, the New York Times wants to put them out of business. I mean, they get more money than the Epic Times does.
Well, the Epic Times probably wants to put them out of business.
Yeah, but who's going to win?
Well, that's. But we're all fighting. The weird part, Jan, is this.
When you got something like Bezos and the Washington Post, everybody should be really scared of that. Just as one example of someone who just prints garbage, but prints enough of it where the garbage sticks. And the same thing with the New York Times. And I'm not saying there shouldn't be competition, but what kind of competition do you have against the Jeff Bezos?
John,
how do you get any readers? How do you get any kind of print penetration in in a market, that those are the big players, and they're all totally singing the same tune.
Well, Jan,
you can't help you if you dissent within their ranks. Look at the editorial board people of the New York Times fired just for dissenting.
Well, let me draw this. Let me make an economic tone on this. By the way, I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just trying to do good radio here. Trying. Here's when you have an economy that's grown by 3-3.5%, healthy economy. All right. Most people, unless you're really a knothead, if you don't work as hard as the guy next door and you grow by 2.5% and he grows it by 4%, because he works Saturday and you don't, most people don't really have a problem with that if you're anywhere normal, right? I mean, you're moving along and you've decided to play golf every Saturday while the other guy's out, whatever he's doing, selling ice cream, and he's making more dough than you. I mean, there's a certain pattern going forward, but when there is no growth, the only way anybody jumps ahead of the pack, I'm not talking about if you invent a cure for cancer, I'm saying in general, the only way somebody jumps ahead of the pack is for them to be successful, somebody else has to lose, right? Unless it's new growth, which it normally isn't. It's going to the government, I stole a contract that used to be David's. So now I'm doing better and David's not. You know, my guys got in and all of a sudden I get the new Dan Ryan contract and you don't. Every time one guy does something, it's at the expense of somebody else. Well, what you also need to do, you have to be able to tell people, if you're big enough, that I didn't just do that, right? I really didn't do that. I really did this out of the goodness of my heart for you, even though I'm stealing from you, right? So we have a whole industry now, and not only stealing money from people, like Amazon does, but I'm not paying taxes like everybody else, or at least they didn't used to. And that's their shtick. Well, they can't just do that without telling you that they're the best company on earth, right? So by the way, you got to have a media outlet. One follows after another. It's all, if we were growing, none of this stuff would be happening, I don't think, but we're not. And only a few people are doing better. Am I correct or not?
No, but, you know, we've talked before about the idea of investigative journalism that was a check on excessive power or, you know, aggrandizing, you know, influence. That you had, you know, the Pentagon Papers with, you know, the New York Times and, you know, the Washington Post during Watergate. These were considered checks on the power that has just sort of gone off the rails. And there's no way now that any of these media outlets would ever investigate themselves. And, of course, they just happen to also be the biggest offenders of public morals and everything else. But when you got the people controlling the message being the ones also in charge of any kind of investigation efforts, of course, what happens? It's a completely rigged game.
Well, Jan, I mean, but ask yourself, I mean, our buddy Dr. J, when I started doing radio show / podcast, and we have our theme, right, and Jan's on CNBC and so forth, and he said to me, remember, Chief, nobody will pay for information. They'll only pay for affirmation. You got a good show, but nobody's ever going to pay because nobody feels that they should pay for anything like that. I mean, the reason why we don't have 4 newspapers anymore with people trying to get the story is because people that complain they don't get the right news aren't willing to pay a dime for the paper. So, you know, I mean, if you want an independent Washington Post, you need to pay 75 cents a day, I'm going back in terms of money, and that nobody thinks they have to pay a nickel for any of this stuff, John. So you get what you get. I mean, collectively, individually, you and I are kind of starving for information, and a lot of our listeners, that's why they are here. But, I mean, by and large, am I right? Nobody is willing to pay for this. You got to pay for everything. The reason why they're laying off good reporters at the Tribune is because nobody's willing to pay the Tribune to keep these guys on staff.
The owner of the Tribune doesn't want to even publish the Tribune anymore. So.
Well, that's right, because nobody wants to buy it. Right?
Well, not the print version anyway. If you had a journal that was available for a reasonable sum, you know, a paywall that wasn't as expensive as, say, a year's subscription for the paper itself, and you had a variety of viewpoints, and you had competing headlines, and you had certain sections of the paper that specialized in this and others in that, I think you could conceivably have people flocking to it. And they would gladly read it online, as most people do anyway. But the fact that you have organs now that are designed primarily to issue one political coloring to whatever the story is, and those are the ones that are controlling the flow of information. And to the extent that they're also discrediting and trying to embarrass and humiliate and censor the ones who are saying anything different. We've never had a situation like that.
But this fight is to be continued, because what I'm saying is the people who watch Fox, they're going to get their sponsors because they know the clientele there. The people who watch MSNBC, saying if you and I decided to put in the rest of the contributors, if somehow somebody gave us a cable station, and we were just going to print and have real serious stories. We're going to have guys like Jeff talk about the stuff in Luckbox magazine. Well, Jeff was you know, talking last week. I mean, they're doing really well in the magazine, but why isn't that now read? It's been out in a while. Why isn't that read by 30 million people a week? John, nobody wants to. If you're on the right, you listen to Fox all day. If you're on the left, you listen to the other. Nobody wants to listen to something different.
But Tom, whether you're on the left or right, if you only hear one message,
Hear it because you're the one who tunes into the station. That's my point. I wish it wasn't that way. Believe me. I mean, I would love it if
just saying, when you get that kind of power concentrated at the national level, and then you throw in Hollywood and television programming and everything else, and it's all of one stripe, there is no way anybody has the energy to dig out from under that avalanche.
But these guys are as
you can't blame people that they should be choosing other things. What are their choices?
What I'm saying is, if you were to have a very fair, both sides, if Walter Cronkite came back today, nobody listened to him.
We've been acculturated not to listen to such.
Well, I mean, I don't know which comes first, the chicken or the egg, you know.
And that's part of the design too. None of this media onslaught has anything to do with encouraging thinking.
Well, Dan, we're gonna have to continue this next week. But good stuff. SB Futures is now 51. Wow. We've been sinking while we've been talking. And I blame you. SB Futures down 132. Be right back.
Take it easy, Tom.
Wealthy, do you truly know
the Mike
odds?
Or Jeff?
Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to factor in the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other life decision. Your brain is smarter than your gut, and that's why you owe it to yourself to read Luckbox. We've made it easy because Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with timely, actionable trading ideas, and equips you with savvy investing tactics you don't already know, all while exploring how to live your best life through music, spirits, food, sports, travel, fitness, and a whole lot more. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on controlling their financial futures. It's for overachievers and alpha types who don't buy into Wall Street's investment gurus. It's for mavericks who believe in life, luxury, and the pursuit of happiness. It's for you. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to ptisecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's ptisecurities.com.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, owner of Home Source Realty and frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks radio show. If you're thinking about purchasing real estate, this summer could be a good time to shop around. Whether you're a novice or seasoned investor, low interest rates and good inventory make adding bricks and mortar investment to your portfolio an interesting possibility. Many a great fortune has begun with the purchase of property. Call me today for your personal investment consultation, and I would be happy to get you started on your path to prosperity. You can reach me at AudreyJohnson@Realtor.com or call me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456.
Stocks, jocks,
stocks and jocks,
stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jacks. I'm Tim Molly. He's Mr. Dave Scatina on the board. S&P futures down 49. We've been down here all morning, and it's getting worse. NASDAQ futures down 132. This is somewhat ugly. Pretty much everywhere. Dow's down. Well, was down 500. Now it's only down 492. So I guess that's a comeback. Over in Europe, we've got the DAX now down 439. It's down. What is that, David? 200 since the last time we did this an hour ago.
Right.
That's 2.8%. FTSE down 175, 2.5%. CAC around down 175, 2.7. I wish I could say that I have a whole bunch of extra puts for my people, but I would be lying, and I'm not going to do that. So I have every covered with puts, and we have probably more cash than we have had in a while, David. So I guess that's pretty good. It's not the same as having a little drawer full of puts, though, is it?
No.
Nikkei down 350, 1.25. Shanghai down, this is the one that's surprising, down 18 cents, so let's call that unchanged. Hang Seng down 514, 1.8%. As a way of review, Friday Dow was down 299, S&P down 32, NASDAQ down 115, and it's continuing today. Last night was only down a little bit. Bonds, 122, that's a 10-year rate, minus 0.08 basis points, that's a lot. Bund minus 0.39, so they're down 4 basis points. Japan hanging in there over zero at 0.01, barely hanging over zero. We got oil down 254, that's 3.5%, 69.27. Brent down 242, 3.29. It's, 70, at 71.17. Natural gas up 8 cents, 3.75. RBOB down 6 cents, 2.18. And I'm bemoaning the fact I filled up the Suburban yesterday. Gold now down $18, 17.97. We're selling everything here, David. I think we just sold your bear jersey. I don't know how you're going to get home. Silver down 65 cents. That's a lot for silver. That's 2.5%. Copper down 14 cents. Ouch. Crypto, even that's down 871, 30,800. David, what do you got for us? Traffic, weather, sports.
Good morning, 7:36. Weather today in Chicago. Currently it's 71 and sunny. We're going to have a high of 80 degrees today. Sunny day. It's going to be a nice day in Chicago. Phoenix listeners, right now it's 88 and partly cloudy. They're going to have, it'll be a high of 104 and sunny. Traffic, heavy buildup on the Kennedy and Eisenhower due to long-term construction. We have our slowdown on 55 North at the 94th Street exit. Earlier accident at Kennedy West before exit 82, congestion stop and go. Expect delays up to 20 minutes. In sports, Cubs lose to the D-backs, 6-4, take on the Cards tonight. Sox beat Astros, 4-0. They'll be playing the Twins. NBA tomorrow night, the Suns play Game 6 at Milwaukee, down 3-2 in the series. And in the Open this weekend, Colin Morikawa, wins the Open 15-under at Royal St. George in England. Back to you, Chief.
That guy's still just starting, I think.
24 years old, two majors. He's a really good player.
So we have Mike back. We haven't heard from him in a while. He's by far our market maven here, and I feel like with the market doing this, it's like the day Sonny got shot, and I'm Don Corleone saying, conciliary of mine, what does everybody seem to know here that I don't?
Well, it's an interesting day. We are coming a few days of this sort of negative prints in the market.
Mike, you might have to move a little bit. You're breaking up. Can you move to another part of the room or something?
How do I? What I always find fascinating is how quickly volatility increases during periods of time that we are actually breaking up and breaking down the stock market.
We're catching every other word. Why don't you try a call back, and then we'll get you right back.
All right, let me try calling back.
All right. This is pretty ugly. I mean, I've got all the Dow stocks up here. Not one of them is in the green. A couple of them haven't opened yet. When I opened, not trading beforehand, Travelers and Amgen. But every other one is mired in red. Boeing down 584. We got American Express down 450. Obviously, if it's a kind of COVID event, American Express is going to get whacked on that. We've got Caterpillar down 440. Chevron Texaco with oil prices going down at 270. We've got JP Morgan now at 382. So they're all getting kind of crunched, or even McDonald's down 285. So I don't see a green light. And the only thing green on my page, our bonds are up, and so is the VIX. Those are the only two green things, and I have a big page here. So we got no stocks that are heading forward, or even selling gold, which is anyway. So that's where that all is. But it's somewhat ugly. I was hoping we will get Mike back in a second here, but one of the things I would like people to take a look at today is buried in the news. Is that Zoom is going to buy, what the hell's the name of this outfit? They're paying $14.7 billion for, I'll get the name of it here in a second. I was going to get all the stuff out of Mike, but since he's, let's see. Zoom is buying cloud contact center provider Five9 for $14.7 billion. Now, that may seem terrific, and by the way, it is, if you happen to be an investor in Five9, because I think they're up a bunch this morning. But the weird part is, you might say, wait a minute, wait a minute, Edith, how did Zoom get $14.9 billion? They don't have a close to $14.9 billion. This is how odd the world is. I mean, if all of a sudden somebody said, geez, PTI, of course, we're not publicly traded, but if we were, if somebody decided, wow, these guys are the best things to sliced bread, and they ran our stock up to where our stock was worth, $20 billion, the first thing I would do is start buying places with my stock. I mean, why not? So these guys, as of last year, at the end of last year, their best year ever, Zoom, their total equity is $3.8 billion. Yet their stock is worth so much that this other company is going to take their stock in trade for their company. Now, I'm going to say there is no way in hell that Zoom writes that check or gets any kind of financing where they could actually write these other guys' shareholders a check, and yet they're willing to take Zoom stock. If they have a year where they can't sell it, they are out of their minds. I mean, do we have Mike back, Dave? Are we still fighting for him? What are we doing over there?
Still fighting for Mike to get back, Tom.
Is he supposed to be calling us?
I tried him. He's supposed to be calling. We'll see.
I'm sure he will. What do you make of this, David?
Last time, 2 weeks ago, Tom, when the market was down, what was it, down 400, I'm going to say, a couple of years, and you said, what do you think? I said, buy futures.
Yep.
Every time we've been down, we've bounced. Well, now you got 2 days in a row, so maybe there's something to this.
What do you make of Zoom paying $14 billion for a place when they only have $4 billion equity to start with?
Yeah.
I would take the Zoom stock. Now, if they're going to issue a new stock, what does that do to Zoom's price? If this thing takes a year to close and Zoom's stock goes down in the meantime, do these guys get to renegotiate? Do they get to go out of the deal? This is amazing. I haven't seen one of these since the last time the market was like higher than it ought to be. If I'm one of the executives at this other place and I can't sell my stock for a year, I don't take this deal. If I can sell tomorrow and Zoom is trading at the same price, I'll be out tomorrow. I mean, why would I want to hang out at Zoom stock?
I totally agree with you, Tom.
But this is what happens. Stock becomes almost an alternative currency.
Right.
And we talk about, money supply and money and the way money is created in, this country. I'm gonna say he forgot to charge his phone or something. And how money's created in this kind of, when stocks.
I'll give him a quick call.
All right. When stock, just so everybody knows, if you come to PTI or any other, we don't do a lot of this because most of our stuff is, people do buy stock here. I mean, we're a full service brokerage firm, so it's not like we don't do it, but we're not the place of choice. Although, wait a minute, I shouldn't really say that either because through our interactive, arm, We have a lot of people just go buy stock, and Interactive gives very good margin rates, so it's actually a great place to buy stock on margin if you want to do it. I'm not advertising anybody to do that, but if you want to, we actually can give a great deal to people. So from the Interactive side, our RBC is a little more traditional. But anyway, if somebody comes in and says, let's look at the transaction. Mike, how are you? You're back.
I'm back. Yep, I don't know what was going on there. Technical difficulty.
Let me finish this real quick. I was talking about the way our money system works here. I mean, I've gone through how on innumerable occasions, if you put $1 million in the bank and the bank loans me $800,000 and I put it back in the bank, we're essentially increasing the money supply. But it also can work on the security side. We're talking about this Zoom paying $14 billion in their own stock when the company's only got like $2 billion. But their stock is trading for so much higher. But it works the same way because Mike, obviously very familiar with the brokerage industry. If somebody wants to buy 1,000 shares of IBM here, Merrill Lynch, Tasty Trade, you name it, it's trading $137, down $1.90, by the way. You only have to send us, any of us, a check for half of $137. So what happens is PTI, Tasty, whoever it is, whoever the clearing firm is, takes the 1,000 shares of IBM, essentially, there's a, what's the big long name that you, they call it, takes it to the bank, and the bank lends the money. So now, the bank has essentially created a loan and created cash, right? So when the market runs up and people use that stock to borrow more money to buy more stock, it's almost the same in terms of money creation as Mike putting $1 million in the bank and them lending $800,000 to David and David putting that back in the bank. So you actually get you grow the availability of funds to buy even more stock when the stock goes up, right, Mike?
That's correct. It's a two-sided sword because anxiety can also be dangerous. So you don't want to over-allocate yourself to the point where you can't afford the margin, but at the same time, use that margin to your favor every chance you get.
But now, so if the sell-off, say it drops a whole bunch more, and I'm not predicting that, but say it does, you're going to get the phone call from PTI or somebody, Hey, buddy, you're down. You're only 30% of margin now. What do you want to do? Send us a check or sell some of your stock? Those are your only two decisions, right, Mike?
That's right.
So we're nowhere near there yet, I don't think. Well, actually, no, we could be in some of these stocks where people, clearly in some of the ones, what's the movie stock? The AC, those guys. The one with all those
stocks. AMC.
AMC or BB or a lot of those things. They're way below 30% where they were at the top, right? Or you would have had to, I mean, you could conceivably have had margin calls on those things easily, correct?
That should burn.
Yeah. So Mike, what do you think all of us, I mean, I won't say all of a sudden, but now it appears, do you think this COVID is an issue or is it just all the different things that are happening to show that maybe the economy wasn't bouncing back as fast as people thought? And we still have some issues. And now, is the COVID thing just a match on the fire, or is this just a buying opportunity?
I mean,
what is
it? I think you can revert back to the VIX. The VIX trades with a 15 level, and it has been at 15. It hasn't broken below 15, and 15 is relatively elevated historically. So there still is a COVID risk inherent in the market, but right now, the lowest it's been since the entire thing started like 2 years ago.
But now today where are we? We're back up to 21.75. That's a big jump in 2 days.
Yeah, that's a big jump. And it's especially being pushed today with another down day in the market.
Is this like the 500 before it? Is this just the world's greatest buying opportunity? Like a Jim Cramer, the market gives you these bargains once in a while and you got to just jump in and grab it?
For sure.
I mean, you think it might be or no?
Well, it always seems to work, but I'm not putting out advice.
Yeah, it's that's the thing. I mean, it's what did the guy say in the Field of Dreams? He's got two balls on you, so he probably won't throw it at you, but make sure he doesn't stick it in your ear, type of thing.
Yeah, something like that.
I mean, I always get the feeling that I can't, well, me being a trader for all these years, I can't just close my eyes and buy the dip because I know that I'm not trading the last 10 years. I'm trading today. And today we just might be different than the last 10 years. It probably won't be, but it could be. And I might be the jinx on it, right?
Right. And it's difficult to get caught in the intraday noise, which a lot of these stocks have been showing lately.
Well, do you think there's a... I mean, you and I have talked on several occasions. I mean, the for whatever reason, the Fed decided they needed $125 billion on their balance sheet last week. Do you think it's reaching the point where we have to put more and more grease on the worn-out wheel to not get it to squeal to the point where we're running out of grease?
It's a dangerous place if we get there, but the necessary component is the grease in the system. That's what's keeping this entire house afloat. So as long as that money keeps coming, I think the market we can expect to see these kind of rallies.
I mean, so right now, obviously, the Fed or the Treasury is looking at the same thing we're looking at. Are they going to be actively engaged today? I'm going to say yes.
I would think so, yeah.
What happens the day when they run it back up by 12 o'clock and it finishes on its low at 3 o'clock? Is that the day we all better hope we're short or what?
That's the day of reckoning. It's hard to say.
Yeah, I mean, I have a feeling that on that day I'm not going to have any puts. Just saying. I assume you have a drawer full and you sold futures on, was it Thursday night they were up, right?
I'm a permanent seller of options, so that's typically my go-to strategy. But I often do it in high flight volatility markets. So with earnings coming up, it makes it an environment. So I'm keeping my position small.
Yeah, last week, I'm going to say, Mike, I try and find stuff where there's some kind of edge, and I really had trouble finding, I mean, yes, last week was kind of a slow week anyway, sort of summerish, but I really couldn't find any real reason to be throwing money at anything. I mean, I was having trouble finding, calendar spreads, all the volatilities were the same going out every week, and I really didn't find anything. I did find a couple interesting ones in the, and I was actually wanted to ask you about them. I don't know how much you look at the individual stocks, but I mean, people know that I just look when there's like earnings and stuff and trying to get volatility plays. I was looking at a lot of these basic metals, or basic companies, I'll say, like the Freeport, those guys are the copper guys, and U.S. Steel, and Cleveland Cliffs, and they just took somebody over, but they're iron ore, and they provide, ore to steel companies. I mean, these guys are kind of basic industry, so they were snoozing for a real long time, and last year they all did real well, and now they're kind of settling back again. But the weird part, Mike, is that coming up this Friday, the volatility is relatively low, the implied volatility. Then next week, where the earnings are, it all jumped, but then it didn't come down after the earnings week, which I don't think I've ever seen that. What would you suppose would cause that? We were like 60, then 78 for earnings week, but then all of a sudden the next week's like 75, 75, 75 all the way out.
It's probably the exact opposite.
There was no spread there is what I'm saying. If they wanted to sell the 78 vol, I'm not going to buy a 75 against it. That doesn't get me anywhere.
I mean, it's the market saying there's more risk in gold products going forward. That's all you can interpret it as at this point.
Yeah, I mean, right, because it seems like these are things that normally the volatility drops off dramatically after earnings, right, the implied, because you have the 1 week of the big news, and after that, the thing kind of snoozes for a while. So that's the way it's usually priced. Not anymore. I mean, it's good. We gotta get Mike a landline or something, David. Do people have landlines anymore?
I don't know. He's been coming in and out. We may have lost him.
Mike, you're still coming in and out quite a bit. I think you need a new cell phone or a landline or something.
I don't know about this, the brand new iPhone 12.
Uh-oh. Wait. We got Apple down 204, as Mike Hart says, his iPhone 12 sucks. Now, is that a cause? Now, if all of a sudden it's down 4, like in a minute, are we going to say we caused it?
Yep, exactly.
Well, obviously, this morning, I mean, you and I have seen this rodeo so many times, we're going to sit back and see, how much the support comes in, because I think we're probably going to get a little support that comes in. And the question is, will it hold this time? I still don't get, we're up to, what would you say we are, minus five real interest rates? Or something like that? In Europe, they got to be what, minus 10?
The numbers get crazier and crazier every week, and they continue to surprise. So I don't have any expectations.
Does that mean you've got a lot of cash waiting, or you're because like I say I haven't found any pure volatility plays here in a couple of weeks.
Maybe I'm worried right now.
Yeah, it's a one thing we got assigned out of a bunch of calls and some of our index stuff, and we're sitting with a real lot of cash, well, relatively, and you know, some of the clients were calling and say, "How come I'm still in cash?" And I said, well, "Give me a break here. I don't want to be doing anything just to be doing it. And I don't really see a spot here. I think I have to be in. I mean, the oil was a place to be in for a while, Mike, but I don't know. Oil's starting to go down again. I mean, I really don't find a spot here that one of these sectors. Everybody's been saying you got to love the banks. Got to love the banks. I don't know. I mean,
exactly.
You know, if you had to pick a sector, is there one you kind of like? It's either falling out or it's a no, one or the other. But like I say, I don't see anything here that's kind of on the move here. David, are you a buyer or what?
I'm going to sit this one out. I told you last time to buy futures. I don't know. I think we're going to it's a wait and see, like you said. I think there's a lot of cash on the side waiting.
Yeah, well, I'm concerned about what's going on overseas more than most. I mean, it's hard for guys like you and me to get a read on it, David, but it seems like the numbers out of China have not been that good. The debt levels over there are huge. The fact that they're saber-rattling means to me that they're kind of in trouble on some stuff. The whole idea that last week the Biden administration came out and said, be careful of what you're doing over in Hong Kong. I don't know. If you and I had a big business over in Hong Kong, how would you take that exactly? What does that mean? We should sell the place? I mean, what does it mean? Be careful. Do you have any idea what we should do if we actually had a bunch of business over there?
If we knew that, Tom, like I said, I had my multiple islands that I owned.
Well, I'm not talking about just in terms of the market, but just in terms of direction. Are we really saying that it's our national policy now that we don't know that people can do business in Hong Kong? I mean, these guys.
I mean, what does "be careful" mean?
That's exactly as I'm asking you. You can't be asking me back. I'm asking.
It's kind of just a crazy term, just to say "be careful." That's not really giving you any direction.
Well, yeah, I'm saying it doesn't tell you anything.
Right, but I mean, look at the VIX. The VIX for this market, it's a pretty good move in the last 2 weeks.
Oh, it's up 20. Well, it's up from 15 to 21.5. Yeah.
Right. I mean, what does that tell you? You should have bought some calls, right?
Well, calls or put. I mean, clearly the puts are going to help you out, but I don't have any for today. I mean, every weekend, why would you be buying puts? I mean, every weekend on Monday they're just down.
You would just be giving money away. You're correct. Excuse me.
But I mean, a lot of weird stuff has happened in the last few weeks. I think this Didi thing has caused some people to pause a little bit.
Yeah.
Everything came out here, and all of a sudden, out of things, the Chinese government basically. I mean, I don't get. You know, who do you think? I mean, you've been in the industry forever. How do you think a stock like that even gets listed? I mean, you get no voting rights, you get no anything. I mean, how do you think something like that even gets listed?
Are you with us, Mike?
I think Mike is. This is not exactly a commercial for Apple's new phone, is it?
No, I don't understand it.
Well, maybe we'll hear from him tomorrow. You know, if it's Jeff or him coming to call in tomorrow. But so it's you and me for a minute or two. I mean, if all of a sudden, how many people here buy stocks in the Hong Kong exchange as a way to be involved in Chinese stocks? I mean, if we're not, I got to believe the American ownership of the Chinese markets over there is pretty high, and the rest of the world's got to be pretty high. Are we saying we should start divesting ourselves? I can't believe that's what they're saying, David. So I don't know what "be careful" means.
That is the question of the day. Maybe, right? Be careful.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, have you ever bought anything over in Hong Kong?
No, I have not.
I think we...
1 minute.
Back in the day, we might have done a little of that for people. But I don't think we have anybody currently that has any Hong Kong stocks. I mean, I know you can do it for... Mike keeps trying. I'll say that for him. Anyway, we have S&P futures down 48. We have NASDAQ futures down 126. Like I say, every single stock in the Dow that's trading is down. Every single stock in the transportation average that's trading is down. The only up things I have in the entire page are the bonds, which are up because interest rates are down, and we've got the VIX, which is up now over 3 at 21.49.
So do we close higher or lower from here?
I think we'll be up higher from here, but I don't think we're up on the day, do you?
No, I don't think. I mean, I still think it's going to bounce, but the question is, do we close lower from here, from the opening?
Do we bounce and keep going, or do the buy the dippers end up with a bloody nose? That's the question.
Right.
Well, whatever it is, we'll tell everybody. Dave, you'll be back in tomorrow. We'll talk about it tomorrow with Stocks and Jacks.
All right.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to PTISecurities.com. PTI Pro Direct. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at PTIProDirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit Nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. DAX Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.